As we continue to worship this morning, I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Our scripture reading will be verses 39 through 55. And follow along as we hear the good news. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And with a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her. And Mary said, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as your words settle in our soul, may we celebrate your love even in the midst of our own crazy circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is an argument that God is going to do what God is going to do. Anybody familiar with this argument? Perhaps you've made some argument like this before. Some people call it providence, God's will. Yet providence doesn't always work out the way we think it works. For example, God's will always moves and works towards things of mercy, justice, and righteousness. This is God's grace in a nutshell. And sometimes the arc of that movement is longer and slower than what we like. Yet we must remember that that is God's arc and that arc is there. And while the timing might differ from what we want, it's also a part of God's continuous invitation to draw us in, to draw us closer into the movement with him and to bring more people with us. And there are few better examples of this than the story of Mary. So Mary was a young girl by today's standards. Yet in her day and time, it was custom for women to be married between the ages of 14 and 16. In fact, in some cultures today, still today, some girls are arranged in marriage as young as 12, or marry as young as 12, and they're arranged for marriage at even younger ages. It's not our way. Here today and in our society and in our context, we consider this inappropriate at the least and probably more like abuse. Yet it's important to understand the differences in our perspective of how we see things today and how her culture worked. And to understand that difference helps us grasp a deeper nuance of the text. This story begins with Mary, who's engaged to a man named Joseph. And she's minding her own business. When all of a sudden, the angel Gabriel comes to her with a message. Now, Gabriel's name literally means God's valiant one, is a famous angel renowned through Jewish lore who makes his first appearance in the book of Daniel. But he shows up to Mary in front of her, and he has a word from God. "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you." Mary freezes in her tracks. And as a teenager, is she timid or defiant? Should she run and hide, or should she bow low? Scripture describes her as stunned, bewildered, and probably a little scared. But I'm going to say, if it was me or any of us, oh, we'd be scared all right. Anybody thinking they're not going to be? Yeah, all right. But Mary is here, and she's also curious. Perhaps even a little valiant herself. And the angel greets her. "Favored one, beautiful one, beloved child of God, good news, God is with you. God has chosen you. And if you accept, God has chosen you to be the mother of Jesus. And when he is born, he will be holy and called the Son of God." Wow! Here's the thing. I've heard people say that Mary never had a choice, that God chose her, that she was God's will, that basically God forced her. Perhaps you've wrestled with these thoughts yourself. And while God did choose her, she absolutely had a choice, because her faith, our faith, is full of people who had choices to listen to God and to talk back and to push back to God. Did you know you can push back to God? Abraham pushed back and God listened. Moses pushed back and God listened. Samuel pushed back and God listened. Even Jonah pushed back. Now, while some may say that Jonah went anyway, Jonah's issue wasn't doing what God asked. Jonah had an issue with God's infinite mercy, love, and grace. Jonah wanted God to nuke the bad guys. But that goes back to God's will. God's ark of mercy, justice, and righteousness. This is God's grace. This is God's love in action. And here, through Mary, God was moving to save his people. But more than that, God was making the move, the big move, to save of all of creation. And he's asking Mary to be a part of it. Now, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? When Mary receives the good news, she heads straight over to Elizabeth, her cousin, who's already in the midst of her own miraculous pregnancy. And together, they celebrate the good news. And there, Mary stays to get ready with Elizabeth and prepare for these children. And we think about this story, and we imagine the story, and it just draws us in. It defies explanation. I mean, it's an act of beauty and awe that is often best met with open mouth, wide-eyed wonder. That God, our God, promised to be born in flesh and blood, just like our flesh, just like us. That it amazes us that when we stop to wonder about it, that we are constantly amazed again and again. Yet the story doesn't stop with Mary, because it extends to her cousin, and to her family, and to their home. And their home becomes her home. And it becomes an act of extravagant love, where the presence of God leads them, and it leads you, and your family, and your friends, and your neighbors, and all those gathered around to celebrate the presence of Jesus. Mary celebrates. They all celebrate. This is Christmas. And this Christmas, we have an opportunity to share that same presence, that same love, that same blessing, the presence of God with us. We get to celebrate it together. It's a homecoming to Christ where each one of us, where you and where I, we are all called and invited to receive the good news. The good news of God's presence. The good news of being beautiful, chosen, beloved bearers of the loving presence of God. And here's the thing. Mary wasn't anyone prominent or powerful or popular. She wasn't from the biggest or richest or most famous city. She was just an ordinary, normal girl, a normal person, just like us, just like me, just like you. But what set her apart is that she was willing. See, there were more people in the story of Christ. There were more people in the story of Jesus. We've heard about some of them. We've read about some of them. Those who were called to be with Jesus. Those who were called to follow Jesus. Yet their stories end when they walk away from Jesus in sadness. The story for them ends when they choose, when they make a decision not to follow, not to carry the good news, and not to share it. Mary took the opportunity to do so. And today we celebrate with her. We sing with her. We love with her. And more than that, we know that we are beloved with her. That God sent Jesus because he loves us. He loves me. And he loves you. And he wants you in his family. He wants you in his home. He wants you enraptured in his presence and enwrapped in his loving arms. Because this is who God is. God is holy. God fulfills his promises. God shows mercy to everyone. God scatters the arrogant. God pulls down the powerful. God lifts up the lowly. God comes to the aid of his servants. God fills the hungry with good things. This is who God is. Are you hungry? Because today, God chooses us. God chooses you. And God is still asking us, God is still asking you to be a part of this movement called Christmas. And God is calling you his favored one, his beautiful child, his beloved. Even if you don't think of yourself in that way, that's how God sees you. That even when you feel alone, left out, down, depressed, or insignificant, like you've got nothing and you're from nowhere, nothing is important in your life, God sees you. God knows you, and you matter to God, and God loves you, and God wants to lift you up and fill you with good things. And God wants to share the good news with you and through you. And you have a choice. You can refuse. You can push back. Or you can be a part of the next generation to proclaim God's goodness and love. You can choose to make life better and to make yourself and others and the world better at life through Jesus Christ. I know for me, I experience God's love at its deepest when I'm sharing it, when I'm telling others how God has loved me, and as I'm passing that love along. And you know what? It never gets old. Those who share the most love experience the most love. And since God is love, the more we share love, the more we experience the power of God's hope, peace, joy, and love. So this Christmas, may we all be like Mary, that when we encounter God, even if that moment confuses us or scares us, let's have a little courage. Let's be a little bold. Let's be a little valiant. Let's accept the good news that God is inviting us in to receive and to experience. And let's share the good news of God's presence. Let's offer ourselves and be people celebrating Christmas and as a homecoming to God's presence and unconditional love for all. Amen.